have a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Everybody, welcome to another show. Welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your gracious host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Again, thank you for joining me. Very excited about this show. This show is going to be, well, it's going to be an odd show because we're going to talk about something that may have happened and it may explain a lot of what has been going on in your life, in my life, and with the planet. You have got to stick around and listen to the show because as odd as it will seem at first, if you really start to think about it, you will think there may be some truth to this. So stick around for that. But as I've done the last couple of shows, we're going to start this episode of the show with latest headlines. And we're going to start with this. Now, here in my neck of the woods here in Michigan, I know I've been dealing with it. I'm assuming the listeners around the country have been dealing with this also, and those of you who are outside the United States, listen to what we're going through. Apparently, there is a coin shortage in this country. A lot of us have gone to the U-Scans or the Quick Scans or just anywhere, any store, and been told, we aren't taking cash anymore. It's check, credit, or debit. That's all we got. And you ask why, and they're like, well, there's a coin shortage. Two Saturdays ago, my wife and I were at Meijer. That's a regional grocery store chain here in the Michigan area, Great Lakes area. And we went to the U-Scan, and the U-Scan lady's walking up and down the line. We're socially distancing, doing our part. And she's like, if anybody has cash, get out of the line. We aren't taking cash anymore. I'm like, what? Nope, no more cash due to a nationwide coin shortage. I'm like, what in the world? And Meijer was the only store that I saw that occurring at. I'd go to Walmart or Kroger or any other store and I didn't see anything about it. But now Walmart's the same way, Kroger's the same way. You go to get gas, if you have to go in to pay, same thing. Everybody, some stores are just saying we're not taking cash. Other stores are saying, hey, we would love it if you pay with change. And apparently, now the conspiracy theory around this, because it wouldn't be the Paranormal Patriot if I didn't involve a conspiracy theory. But the conspiracy theory around this is that our government is just setting us up for a cashless society so they can track everything we buy and purchase. It's the first step in the mark of the beast. Quite honestly, it's an alluring conspiracy theory. In different times, I would say sure, but this is simply the fact that the government, their quarantine of the country, the shutdown of all these businesses around the country have contributed and basically caused a nationwide coin shortage because people were not out buying. Let me rephrase that. People were not out buying at brick and mortar buildings. They were going on Amazon, eBay, wherever people buy online, they're buying online. The problem is you can't buy with cash online. You have to buy with a credit card. The mints, the place where these coins are produced were shut down due to the coronavirus. So therefore, coins weren't being produced. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not 100% convinced that there is a nationwide coin shortage. you still have banks. These Coinstar machines have hundreds and hundreds of dollars in change, and they're everywhere. Banks have change galore. Just because people weren't buying anything in the brick and mortar buildings, therefore they were not having to give up their coins. They may not have been giving any, but honestly, how many people pay with exact change nowadays? Very, very few. So if you have a $95.46 transaction, you're giving them a $100 bill and you're getting change back. And that change is coins. So honestly, with these businesses, they're giving out more coins every day than they're taking in. I've worked retail. I know how that works. I worked retail for the longest time. I worked in management and retail. I know. We would go through coinage left and right. I would always get calls. Tom, need change, need change, need change. So I'm not 100% convinced. It sounds good. It sounds good that there was nobody buying anything in the stores and the mints weren't producing any new coins. Well, they may not have been producing any 2020 coins. God knows what those are going to be laced with. But there are still billions of coins out in the general population that weren't being transferred. People still have them. To me, it doesn't make sense. So you can tell me there's a coin shortage. And don't get offended if I look at you with a confused look as to why. And that's the general sentiment around the country is why. We who question this understand that people weren't buying from brick and mortar buildings and there were no cash transactions taking place. It was all online and therefore credit or debit. But there's enough change. And listen, these businesses should be overflowing with change because they haven't been giving up any change. So what's the cause of it? Do you really think that there's a national coin shortage? Or do you think it's just another government ploy to make us think that things are worse than they really are? Contact me. Let your voice be heard. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Do you think that there is a national coin shortage? Or is this just another government scare tactic? You decide and let me know what you think. So next on the news cycle, as if things weren't bad enough, we've had COVID, we've had murder hornets, we've had a new potential pandemic of a swine flu. Now there is a case of the bubonic plague in the Mongolian region of China. I, for one, am absolutely tired of the fear porn. Now, I get it. I really do. I get it that I get it. I was a big perpetrator in the fear porn back in the day. I remember the Ebola scare where I just basically said, oh my gosh, we're going to die. Ebola's here. This was basically COVID-19 Ebola style. I thought this was the end all be all. I get that when COVID first arrived to this country, I was all fear porn. It opened my eyes up severely. I mean, extremely large, and I see clearly what and how our government works. Our government, certain aspects of our government and the media are all about fear porn. Because if you have a population that is scared and scared for their life and fear for their life, they're going to do anything you ask. So now they're going to keep the fear porn going by all the news outlets going out there and saying, oh my gosh, the bubonic plague is back. Well, okay, the bubonic plague may be back, but you don't think we have a vaccine for that? You don't think we have something to combat that in this day and age? This isn't medieval France. This isn't medieval England, where there was just no way to stop the spread. We can stop the spread now. So why the fear porn? Because they want to keep the population scared. It works for a lot of people. It doesn't work for me, and I'm sure it doesn't work for a lot of you. And speaking of fear porn, our illustrious governor. Now, this past Thursday, which would have been July 9th, she announced she was having a press conference, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, here comes the lockdowns. So there were a lot of people watching her press conference. And it starts off that everybody inside a business or indoors has to wear a mask. Mandated, you have to do it. Everybody's like, oh, there's the first step. And then it just dissolved. into a racial, everybody's racist. She basically told the state of Michigan that these medical workers, they have to be trained on how to treat black patients. The governor came on, and it wasn't just the governor. It was the governor and all of her black friends coming up onto the stage, on up to the podium, stating that there is a huge disparity in the number of cases of black people getting coronavirus as opposed to the number of white people getting coronavirus. Well, the simple fact, I'm going to tell you right now, my family, a lot of my family lives in and around Saginaw. Saginaw, in the city of Saginaw, has a large black population. While my uncle is sitting in his house observing the shelter in place, he's watching as black families, as black neighborhoods come together for block parties. Nobody questions that. Nobody asks why. The thing that bothered me the most up at that press conference is it turned into a BLM press conference. Black Lives Matter press conference. Everybody up there, all these black people that are up there, are talking about how much racists are ruining the ability of the black people to survive the coronavirus. They were stating that this racial disparity is due to systematic racism that is spread all across the land. But what they failed to realize is everybody on that stage had an opportunity to make themselves successful. They took that opportunity. Everybody on that stage is going to make more money than I will ever make in my lifetime, probably in the first year. I mean, it's crazy how much money these people are making. Every single one of them, except one guy, and that one guy literally had 30 seconds of talking. He was the president. I think he was the president of the University of Michigan Health Services. He had about 30 seconds to a minute. Everybody else was black, and they had 5-10 minutes of talking about racists, about racial disparity, about white privilege, and how the medical community does not know how to treat black patients. It was, and I'm reading the comments because I'm watching it live on Facebook, and all these comments are coming across, and they're like, are you kidding me? Everybody is coming across saying, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. This is just mom scolding us and bringing in all of her Karen friends to tell us how horrible we are. Everybody was a racist on Thursday in the state of Michigan, if they were white. And if you were black, you were basically, you had every right to wonder why you're getting COVID and the white population isn't. I don't know. Is there something in the genome? Is there something in the DNA? Is there something in the genetics of the black population that causes them to contract COVID-19 at a higher rate than white people? Or is it their actions? Because there were not a lot of white people protesting during the BLM movements. Just stating a fact. But on top of that, going back to the mask requirements, she is requiring every business, every place that has an indoor function, everybody has to wear a mask. It is mandated now. If you have a business and you are not requiring your employees or your customers to wear a mask, you will be fined $500. My question is, how is that legal? How can you enforce that? First off, this is the same governor who is expecting the police departments across this state to be solidified with her and enforce this, as far as I'm concerned, unconstitutional mandate. This is the same governor that was protesting with the Black Lives Movement against the police department. Do you really think that the police departments across this state have forgotten that, Governor Whitmer? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know when I talk to a lot of police officers in and around my neighborhood, where I live, where I work, during this show, I have a lot of officers that listen to this show, and every single one of them says, we're done. We're done doing her duty. We're done doing her dirty work. Now, there's a lot of businesses. Walmart in Owosso has now mandated that everybody, and this is before even her executive order came through, which is like the 140th or 150th executive order she's issued, even before her executive order, they have mandated that anybody walking into the store has to wear a mask. If you're not wearing a mask, you're not getting in. Fine. You lost my business. Not that it matters to Walmart, but you know what? It makes me feel better. I did my part. I stood up for myself. But it appears now that I'm going to have to wear a mask when I go into a business. So anybody that knows how to crochet, please do me a favor and crochet me a mask just so I can show how ludicrous this mask rule is. Because masks really aren't helping. Now, if you're wearing a medical grade mask, good for you. All right, you're doing your part. I don't have access to medical grade masks. I can't get one. The mask I can get, it's written and it's stated right on the packaging. This is not intended to stop microbes below 0.3 microns. In other words, they're not going to work. That's the only thing that's around. I see so many people walking around with bandanas under their nose. I mean, they look like they're from the Old West. Put on a cowboy hat and some chaps and you're robbing a train. I see people with homemade masks that aren't doing anything. I've seen a meme on Facebook that shows a person coughing in a mask and there's nothing coming out. Well, 99% of the people don't have access to those masks. They're wearing their homemade cloth mask. So that is an inaccurate representation of what happens when you cough when you're wearing a cloth mask. Because 90% of what you're coughing is getting through the cloth. So if I have to wear a mask, I'm looking for one right now. So I have two options. If somebody knows how to crochet, I would love a crocheted face mask that I can wear around to show how ridiculous this is. Or I'm looking for one that says either this mask is useless or my governor is an idiot. Either one will bring home the point. But again, how can you enforce $500? And I'm not even sure. Nobody can answer this, not even the governor. Is that a one-time offense? Is that multiple times? This is the problem with our governor. She enforces these executive orders just on pew, shooting from the hip. Pew, here's another executive order. Pew, here's another one. Her problem is she doesn't think things through. She doesn't think about what she's ordering prior to her doing it. And that begs the question, who's advising her? Because during her initial shelter in place, it was okay to be in a boat, as long as that boat didn't have a motor. There were questions presented to her as to why Michigan residents could not travel up north to their second homes or their summer cottages, but people who were from out of state, especially around Chicago, and a lot of people from Chicago have summer homes and cottages in northern Michigan. Chicago in the surrounding area back then was a hot zone. In March and April of this year, that was a huge coronavirus hot zone. The residents of Michigan could not travel to their summer home. They had to make a choice. If you go to your summer home or your cottage, you're staying there. You're not coming back down, and vice versa. But people who own summer homes and cottages up in the northern part of Michigan from out of state, free reign. So when she's questioned about these things, she has no answer. And this mask mandate is going to be no different than any of the other ridiculous executive orders that she didn't think through. Because now, retailers in the state of Michigan who are mandated to have every employee and every guest into their store wear a mask are like, we don't feel comfortable having to mandate this. This is going to cause a lot of problems. So, you know, you get these people who are all about wearing masks. Their biggest thing is they say if a business requires you to wear a mask, that's their decision. You don't have to shop there, but that's their right. But now these businesses don't have that right. There are a lot of businesses, mine included, that do not feel comfortable requiring their employees and their guests to wear masks. But now, if that business, my business, whatever business is caught in violation of this so-called mandate, they will be fined $500. So what happened? I want to hear from all of you mask-wearing people. What happened? Where did the, well, if they choose to make you wear a mask, just don't shop there. Well, now, for the people that don't want to wear a mask or can't wear a mask, you have basically limited their ability to shop. I'll be honest with you. I don't wear a mask. Maybe I should, but I don't. My wife really doesn't wear a mask because she's done the research. You're getting inundated from the Democrats and the mainstream media about masks save lives. But they're not quoting and they're not reporting on some of these reports that say, listen, the worst thing you can do if you are healthy is wear a mask. Because that doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative is to keep you afraid. And if you've never, ever sent me a message, contributed to the show, I want you to do this one. I want to do a poll. How many of my listeners wear a mask wherever they go? And why? How many of my listeners do not wear a mask wherever they go? And why? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Please contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net and let me know. Because I'm curious. In my town, it's about 60% of the people are not wearing masks, 40% are. I told you the story of the old lady that came up to me in Home Depot and scolded me for not wearing a mask. Told you about the confrontation between two people I saw that were, one was wearing a mask, one was not wearing a mask. Again, there's a thread here. There's a theme here. Those that are wearing the masks appear to be in the minority, at least in my neck of the woods. I don't know where it is where you live. Let me know. What is the ratio of people wearing a mask to not wearing a mask where you live? Let me know that too. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. But there's a common thread here. Those who are wearing masks are more, what's the word I'm looking for? More aggressive, more in your face than those that are not wearing a mask. You know, those of us that are not wearing a mask, we're not going up to people and say, why are you wearing a mask? That is ridiculous. It doesn't do anything to help you. We don't do that. You're wearing a mask. Cool. Good shopping. But those that are wearing a mask appear to have no problem going up to those of us who do not wear a mask and getting in our face. And just as a side note, our illustrious governor has encouraged, and this is no joke, this is dead serious, she said it in her press conference Thursday. For those of you who wear masks, and you see someone that's not wearing a mask, engage that person. Tell them you don't feel comfortable with them not wearing a mask. I'm sorry, is that not inciting violence? Because what honestly, in this day and age, what do you think is going to come out of that? Do you think it's going to be a pretty civil conversation? Well, you might be right there. I really should wear a mask. Thanks for your advice. And then walk away? Or is it going to be, screw you. Get out of my face. If you don't get out of my face, I'm going to pound that mask through your throat. I'm assuming the latter is the most logical. Because people have no patience anymore for other people getting in their face. Because that's all you see on the news. Is people getting into people's faces. It is shameful that our governor has encouraged engagement, and she calls it engagement. Don't remember when Maxine Waters told the Democrats, the liberals, to confront those people, engage those people who support Trump? It's the same thing. It's inciting violence. It is encouraging people that are wearing masks to go up to people that are not wearing masks and get in their face. She should be ashamed of herself, and she needs to be held accountable. Honestly, at this point in this day and age, you, as a governor, as our so-called leader, you need to have more sense than that. You need to know that tensions are high on the streets right now, that everybody is on everybody else's nerves because we've been locked down for so long, and now we're just starting to rebound, and you're in the process of locking us down again and giving us these insane executive orders. As a so-called leader, you should know that that might not be a good thing to say in this day and age. I should not entice people towards violence. Or the other option is, maybe that's her plan. Make the people who do not wear masks. And listen, I had an argument over mask wearing on Facebook that, I say I normally don't do it, but I'm finding myself doing it more and more. But every time I made a comment, the mask wearing people were, oh, but if Trump wore one, you'd be wearing one. No, I wouldn't. Because I have a free will. I have a mind of my own that I did the research. I made my decision. And wearing a mask or not wearing a mask is not going to help me right now. But everybody seems to think that if you don't wear a mask, you're a Trump supporter. So maybe this is Whitmer's way of making the Trump supporters look bad. Because listen, if I get this punk-ass kid in my face yelling at me for not wearing a mask and then jumping up and putting his finger right in my chest, it's not going to end well. I will be as calm and collected as I can, but you know what? I only have certain amount of limits. And you know that and this isn't just me, this is everybody. The media is going to shape that, and they're going to take out everything that punk-ass kid did to engage you, to infuriate you, and just take that 20-second clip of you pushing him back and him going, "Oh my God, I broke my back!" And it's going to be all over the news. Is this her agenda? Let's make the Trump supporters in the state of Michigan look crazy, like they're violent. It's not us. It's not us that's violent. We're just fed up with your BS. Please, I want to know how many of my listeners are on board without wearing masks and how many are on board with wearing masks. I'll let you know on next week's show. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. And let me know why you feel you should or should not wear a mask. Because honestly, I'm torn. I feel like, okay, maybe I should wear a mask, but then I do more research and I'm like, it's pointless. I hate wearing masks. Now, and this is a request on my part, and it's a heartfelt request. Changing gears a little bit. June 24th, for those of you who have listened for a while, you know my wife is battling cancer. For my new listeners, my wife is battling what is called neuroendocrine cancer. It has spread into her liver, and unfortunately, we can only control it. We can't cure it. It's going to eventually take her life. And she's 45 years old, mother of three, not ready to go. She's got so much left she wants to do. And she was diagnosed in 2017, June 27th, 2017. Just celebrated her, she celebrates a cancerversary. I have a hard time celebrating that. I honestly do. I don't know why you'd celebrate something so horrific to happen to you. But for the first 2.5 years, she was doing phenomenally well. Absolutely phenomenal. You wouldn't even know she had cancer. She would take monthly injections of lanreotide that would control the tumors. This neuroendocrine cancer has a carcinoid syndrome that makes you flush, gives you diarrhea, gives you a fever, and it can over time kill you. Well, in January of 2020, every 6 months she gets MRIs, and the MRI in January showed she had a little bit of a mass in her pelvic area that we didn't see before. Now in 2013, they saw a mass, and it was determined just to be whatever. It wasn't anything to worry about. Live your life and enjoy it. Well, we found out 4 years later she had cancer. So I'm like, maybe this is that? So they kept an eye on it. And then she started having back pain, starting having pain shooting down her leg, and started having groin pains. And she went to a doctor here in town, an OBGYN, and that doctor said, "Ooh, yeah, we're going to do an MRI. Did an MRI, saw the mass, said, "Hey, it's on the fallopian tube. Let's get it out." Well, with her condition, with this carcinoid syndrome, any surgery is a high-risk surgery because apparently trauma to the body can initiate a carcinoid syndrome and kill her on the table. So any surgery she has, no matter how minor, it has to be approved by the oncologist down at Karmanos Cancer Institute in Detroit. They went back and forth, and he finally agreed, yep, let's just take it out. If she's not in that much discomfort, it's just a laparoscopic robotic surgery, it'll be fine. And all the time, they did blood markers and looked at it and said, no, it just looks like a mass. We're good. It doesn't look like cancer, but let's get it out. We'll take out the left ovary. We'll take out the fallopian tubes. We'll look at the right ovary, make sure that looks fine. If it looks fine, we won't take that out, so that way you don't need to be on hormone therapies for the rest of your life. So what was supposed to be an hour surgery, June 24th, turned into two and a half hour surgery. the doctor finally came in. He says, yeah, that tumor, that mass was much bigger than I anticipated. He anticipated a 2 to 3 inch incision in her navel. Chop it, get it out, boom, she's ready to go. Well, he had to make that incision 6 inches because he couldn't get the mass out of there. And he said, well, you know, good news is it doesn't look like cancer. It just looks like a benign mass, and we're just going to send it out just to be biopsy, just to be safe. We went out of there. You know, she was in a lot of pain. She struggled because the surgery was much more extensive than we thought. But, you know, got it out. Her back wasn't hurting nearly as much. She didn't have any pain going down her leg anymore. It was great. She was slowly getting better. And if you've listened to the show in 2017, you know I completely believe in the power of prayer. And I'm hoping, because the audience of this show has increased tremendously, that every one of my listeners can give my wife prayers for her health, because the mass that they found ended up being cancer. And that has, at this point, proven that the medicine that she's been taking for 2.5 years is no longer working, and the cancer is progressing. So at this point, we need to change the course of attack. And the course of attack is called a PRRT, which is a peptide receptor radionuclide therapy. And it's really, if you think about it, really amazing. She is going to be, once every 2 months, getting an infusion for 2 hours. And that infusion is going to be radiation, which scares the living daylights out of me, because A, you're injecting your body with poison, and B, I'm well aware of the side effects. But they're going to be giving her a 2-hour infusion of radiation. This PRRT is specifically designed to go after the neuroendocrine tumors. And apparently these tumors have itty-bitty little arms that go off of them. And this radiation is drawn to these tumors. And these tumors grab that little pocket of radiation and pull it down. And as it's pulled down, the arms cause the shell around the radiation to dissolve. So therefore, it splashes that cancer cell with radiation, therefore killing and shrinking that tumor. It's absolutely amazing, but the side effects on it are horrific, and it scares the living daylights out of me. I'm not ready to be a single dad. God help my kids. But again, when I first announced that she had cancer, I had everybody I know, a lot of my listeners, were praying for my wife. I'm asking for prayers again. Please pray for my wife, her name is Michelle, that this therapy is going to work and the side effects are going to be as minimal as possible. I get that there's going to be more side effects. She's going to have nausea. She's going to vomit. She's going to be very tired. She may lose her hair. You know what? I don't want her to be miserable. She has so much that she wants to do. We have a week and a half camping trip, week and a half long camping trip starting July 24th. We are going to the UP of Michigan and camping at the Tequamenon Falls State Park. And for those of you who have lived in Michigan or been to Michigan and been to the Tequamenon Falls area, it's absolutely beautiful. But she wants to go to what they call the Grand Canyon of Michigan. That she wants to go to the Pictured Rocks and do the boat tour. And, you know, it's scaring me because she says, I don't know if I'm ever going to get a chance to do this again. And what am I going to say? No. Yes, we're going to do that. I'm looking forward to this vacation because right now she's struggling, but she's still able to do things. I worry after August, when she starts her PRRT treatment, I'm worried if those times are gone, and I need your prayers. I hate asking for your help, but I know you guys will pull through, and I know you guys are going to do it. You did it in 2017, and a lot of you continue to pray for Michelle, and I thank you so much. Let's double the efforts. Anybody listening to this, please pray for Michelle. I am a firm believer. I know I've got different views on religion than a lot of you'd have, but whether or not you believe in God, Allah, Krishna, Jesus, the universe, or karma, whatever, I'm a firm believer that prayers and just those good thoughts going out make a huge difference. You can call them prayers, you can call them karma, you can call them vibes, whatever you do, just please pray for my wife and pray for my kids and pray for me. And it's a scary time. God, it's a scary time. I don't know how to handle it. I'm struggling. You know, I'm trying to be the rock, trying to be the strong one here, because I know she's scared to death, and somebody's got to be the strong guy. And I can portray that very well, but inside, I'm a mess. So if you can pray, please let me know. And honestly, if you can, send messages via my email, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Send her an email. Hey, just thinking about you, Michelle. Praying for you. Just let her know she's not alone. Let her know that people are thinking about her and rooting for her. And she's a strongest woman I've ever known. You know, just that little bit of support may help her push her over the edge to continue to fight this like she was fighting it before. I've seen the downward trend that she's had. My once vibrant, running circles around me wife is not there anymore. It's pretty bad when I'm running circles around her. God, that's bad. So please, any prayers, anything you can do to just give her good thoughts, good vibes, good prayers would be highly, highly appreciated and forever grateful. Not just for me, but for my wife and from my family. We're scared. We are scared right now, and I'm not going to lie to you. It's a very, very scary time because I knew this day was coming. I was hoping it would be a lot farther down the road, but her cancer is progressing, and I'm not ready for it. And medicine can't do it all. Prayers are helping. So whatever you can do, I would appreciate it. And if you do want to send her a message of good thoughts, message me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. So, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about a theory that may blow your mind. And I thought about it, and the Cosmic Dreamer, when I told him about it, he laughed at me, but wow. When you really, truly think about it, it's not as far-fetched as you think. So, make sure you stay right here. Sit back, relax, and open that mind, because I am about ready to blow it. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back. I'm reshaped like the shore after a wave, crashed down in the middle of a hurricane. I think I can say everybody loved the episode with Jay Miles. Everybody came out of that episode more knowledgeable than when they went into it. Well, you can get that and more when you listen to his show, Vanishing Gates. All you have to do is go find Vanishing Gates wherever you listen to podcasts and get enthralled with knowledge. You can just get engulfed with knowledge. If you like the supernatural, the paranormal, true crime, or other subjects, I mean, there's no telling what Jay's going to talk about. But I guarantee you when he talks about it, you're going to learn something. Look for Jay Miles and Vanishing Gates. And if you don't know how he got the name Vanishing Gates, go back and listen to the episode that I interviewed Jay Miles. It is a great story. But whatever you do, listen to Vanishing Gates wherever you find podcasts. Because you know, if I like it, it's Paranormal Patriot approved. We'll be right back. Okay, so think back and be honest with yourself. Over the last 8 years, since 2012, let's say July 4th, 2012, think back to what was going on in your life prior to July 4th, 2012. And think what is going on in your life now. Has it changed? For the better or for the worse? Has your life changed? Are things different than you remember since July 4th, 2012? Because I can honestly say my life since then has changed. Back in 2012, back in the summer of 2012, I was diagnosed with compensated cirrhosis. Basically, I had fatty deposits in my liver that had turned into fibroids, and basically fibrosis of the liver was occurring. They were talking about me dying in 8 years. They were talking about a liver transplant, and there was nothing they can do to stop it. And then I remember in fall of 2012, I went to a follow-up appointment, and all of a sudden my liver was functioning. It was great. My liver enzymes were right where they should be, and my bilirubin was right where it should be. I was NED, no evidence of disease. And I'm like, what? What the heck happened there? I don't care. Woohoo! Let's party. Probably not a good idea, but I did. But my liver's still fine. And my wife, I talked to you before about she had a scare of cancer in 2013. My wife, who is one of the most healthy people I've ever met, she worked out. She did the right things. She ate the right things. After 2012, her health just plummeted. And it's, I shouldn't say, use the word funny, but it's ironic that when they diagnosed her with cancer in 2017, they said, you've probably had it for at least 5 years, which would be 2012. Now, the question is, and ask yourself, what changed? Did your life change for better, for worse? Do you look at things differently? Do things look differently around the world since July 4th, 2012? And why do I keep using the date, July 4th, 2012? Well, there is a conspiracy theory from Nick Hinton that when I first heard it, I laughed. And when I told the Cosmic Dreamer, because he asked me what the show was about this week, and I told him, he laughed. And then in the process of going over show notes and researching for the show, I was talking to him about it. And he's like, that's kind of interesting. You know, I'm not saying he believes it, but he wasn't laughing anymore. Now, for those of us who remember in 2012, December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar was supposed to end, and that was the end of humanity. That was the end of the world. Well, that didn't happen. Or did it? Now, on July 25th, 2019, the aforementioned Nick Hinton, he is a Twitter guy. He tweets all the time on Twitter. He began with a conspiracy thread asking, did the world end in 2012? Now, granted, this is 2019 when he asked that. So, first question I would have is, why is he asking if the world ended in 2012 when it's 2019? Obviously, it didn't. But when you start digging into why he's asking this question, then you start thinking, whoa, that's pretty interesting. His theory comes from the fact that July 4th, 2012, CERN, the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, July 4th, 2012, found the boson Higgs particle, or the God particle. And Nick Hinton went on July 25th, 2019, over 7 years later, and asked, and this portion will be his Twitter feed, and I'm going to read to you what he posted on Twitter. It starts a conspiracy thread. Did the world end in 2012? I wanted to talk about this subject for a while now. The other day I had a random urge to look it up again and read some old stuff, you know, just for fun. Ever since then, I've noticed other people talking about it again. But the strangest part is I cannot find anything online about it anymore. Like I said, you can find people talking about it casually or joking about it, but I cannot find any of the in-depth articles I've read before. This has actually been really frustrating for me because I've had nothing to refresh my memory while writing this. I've found a few things here and there that are helping me piece the puzzle together again, but I know there used to be so much more out there. He then goes on to say, so, did the world actually end in 2012? Well, 2012 was the year that scientists at CERN finally found the Higgs boson particle. You know, the particle Stephen Hawking predicted could destroy the universe or, in his own words, cause the universe to, quote-unquote, undergo a catastrophic vacuum decay. Now, according to CERN, that is partially true. A problem for many years has been that no experiment has observed the Higgs boson to confirm the theory. But on July 4, 2012, the ATLAS and CMS experiments at CERN's Large Hadron Collider announced that they had observed a new particle in the mass region around 125 GeV. This particle is consistent with the Higgs boson, but it will take further work to determine whether or not it is the Higgs boson predicted by the standard model. The Higgs boson, as proposed within the standard model, is the simplest manifestation of the Brout-Englert-Higgs mechanism. Other types of Higgs bosons are predicted by other theories that go beyond the standard model. So it's well known now that the scientists at CERN have discovered the Higgs boson, or God particle. Again, this is the particle that Stephen Hawking said could cause destruction. It could cause a catastrophic vacuum decay. Now, Hinton, after he heard all this, went on to say, what would happen if we destroyed the universe? What would happen if CERN destroyed the universe? Maybe CERN accidentally created a black hole that sucked us in without even noticing, and we've just been living in it. Now, the weird part is some physicists actually believe this is possible. Nick Hinton goes on to say that there's no cliche argument that nothing has felt right since 2012. He says, I agree with this. Maybe it has something to do with growing up and getting older, but ever since then, it seems like the world descends more and more into chaos each day. Time even feels faster. I've heard that numerous times, and I feel that time seems to be speeding up. Hinton believes that the Higgs boson particle, it destroyed the universe and shifted our consciousness to another universe. He says, like I said before, I think we live in a series of simulations. Perhaps this universe was destroyed by CERN and our collective consciousness was moved into a parallel universe next door. It would be almost identical. Now, his reasoning, some people seem to remember things slightly different from others. I've done shows on this. It's called the Mandela Effect. He says, in fact, there are people out there who are reporting small differences in this reality and the one they remember before 2012. This is a phenomenon often referred to as the Mandela Effect. Yes, we've talked about that numerous times. We've talked about Shazam. We've talked about the Berenstain Bears. He went on to say, some people remember Febreze, F-E-B-R-E-E-Z-E, rather than Febreze, F-E-B-R-E-Z-E. He went on to give other examples, Skechers, Looney Tunes, JCPenney, the list goes on. And he says, if these things don't look or feel right to you, you're not alone. Now, I do apologize if there's noise in the back. It seems like every time I try to record a show, the neighbor next door decides to mow his grass and weed whack and, you know, trim along the edges, and it is picked up. And apparently our houses are way too close. So, but regardless, Nick goes on to say, and I want to reiterate what happened here because maybe I didn't make the point clear. July 4, 2012, CERN discovered the Higgs boson particle, the God particle. And it was unstable. And when it became unstable, it destroyed the planet. And as it was destroying the planet, it shifted us in the blink of an eye to the point we don't even feel or don't even know that it happened. We went into another dimension because there's multiple dimensions. I'll go into that in a second. So we went into a different dimension where things are almost exactly the same, but some things are different. You know, I was just talking during the break about Shazam, the movie. In 1994, I remember managing a video store in my hometown of Saginaw Township. I remember putting out Shazam with Sinbad on the cover. I remember playing that on the four TVs in the middle of the store because it was a family-friendly show. I remember that. Apparently, that show never existed, but I remember it. It happened. I'm telling you, it happened. I remember we had multiple copies of it. We played it on the TV. I remember watching it. Sinbad starred in that movie. No such thing. That's the Mandela effect. Things are different after 2012. He says we moved into a different dimension, and there are multiple dimensions. We've pretty much ascertained and confirmed that we are one of many, many, many dimensions. And, you know, the paranormal, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, aliens, cryptids, they may be creatures from another dimension that are crossing over into our dimension. We don't know yet, but there's a very good theory that says that's true. He says, Nick Hinton says, imagine a multi-dimensional spider web in the early morning covered with dewdrops. And every dewdrop contains the reflection of all the other dewdrops. And in each reflected dewdrop, the reflection of all the other dewdrops in that reflection. And so ad infinitum. In other words, this dewdrop is showing the reflection of all the other dewdrops, which are multiple dimensions. The dewdrop next to it is showing the reflection of all the other dimensions, or all the other dewdrops, which are dimensions. The infinite number of dimensions is infinite. Now, we all remember in 2012, there was the scare of the Mayan calendar ending, and that was the end of the world as we know it. Now, besides the Mayans, there were some other people who predicted 2012 would be the end. One of those people were someone you probably have never heard of, and that's Terence McKenna. Now, he didn't necessarily believe 2012 would be the end, but he did predict that there would be some reality rearranging event. Now, he made this prediction using his time wave zero formula, which supposedly mathematically decodes the King-Wen sequence of the I Ching into something that graphs the fractional patterns of history. Now here is where it gets real interesting for me. According to Preston B. Nichols, now Preston B. Nichols is a supposed whistleblower who wrote books detailing time travel experiments at the Montauk Air Force Base. He claimed that the government was never able to travel past 2012 because they could find no future beyond it. Now, I get that that is an easy prediction. But according to him, there was a very abrupt wall there with nothing on the other side. Now, whether he's a crackpot or not, what I find interesting, and this is where a little bit of substantiality comes into it, he had this interview in 2014. Like it or not, it's strange to say that there is nothing after 2012. If you are going to be a crackpot conspiracy theorist, if you're going to be a whistleblower, if you really want to make this story believable, you have this story in 2010. You don't have this story of time travel that cannot be gone by beyond 2012 in 2014. You don't go and tell people, hey, it's 2014, but in time travel, there's nothing past 2012, because all that does is make your story unbelievable. But he went out and did that. It makes no sense. There is an end of history philosophical idea that has been talked about by such noble figures as Hegel, Marx, and most recently, Francis Fukuyama. There is a theory floating around that we've reached the end of history. Now, the end of history is a philosophical idea that has been most talked about by, as I said, Hegel, Marx, and Francis Fukuyama. Now, at the end of history events still happen, but humanity has reached the end of its socio-cultural evolution. This theory has nothing to do with time travel, it has nothing to do with simulations, but rather it has to do with the stagnation of human progress. He says, if you think fourth dimensionally or beyond the linear time, we could say that the universe has already ended. The moment it began, the end was set in stone. Nick ended his Twitter feed by saying, "Perhaps the universe is in a constant cycle of expanding and contracting. The Big Bang and the Big Crunch happening over and over. And our souls are just taking a ride on the cosmic Ferris wheel." Ask yourself, look at your life. Look at your life prior to July 4th, 2012. And look at your life past or post July 4th, 2012. Are things different? Because I know my life, totally different. I see things differently. My whole views have changed. Look at the planet, earthquakes, weather phenomena, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes. Look at the social disruption. The theory is that we have moved into a different universe. We are in the next parallel universe. We just kind of flipped the record over. And we're in what we think is the same universe, but things are a little different. Different enough that chaos is all around us. Because the planet is trying to connect and trying to secure itself into this new dimension. And to do that, there's a lot of global upheaval, volcanoes, earthquakes, weird weather phenomena. So the magnetic field is completely awry. It's moving faster away from the North Pole than it's ever been. A lot of people think that in 2012, our planet, in its original dimension, that prior to 2012, if you were to go to that dimension and look at planet Earth, it would be a smoldering piece of rock about the size of a football field. So this collective consciousness that we are in, we are able to move with this planet into a different dimension. Because life is consciousness. That is what our life is, according to this theory. So, brings home the question, it begs to be asked, do we actually die? Or when we move from this dimension, when we pass on, do we move to the next dimension? Have we all, everybody on this planet that was alive July 4th, 2012, did we all pass on to a different dimension? And this dimension's just a little bit different than the dimension we left. You know, things are happening, things look a little different, things are not quite what we thought they were. Ask yourself. Because it's a really intriguing theory, and you know I believe in parallel universes and multidimensions, and it's intriguing. Look at the paranormal. The paranormal is absolutely taking off. Is the paranormal more representative in this dimension that we've moved in from, or moved into from 2012? UFOs, ghosts, cryptids, I mean, they're all over the place now. We're seeing things that we never saw before. Is it because we're in a different dimension? Are we all dead in our previous dimension? And now, we just shifted over to this dimension. It's intriguing. And I know how it sounds. It's kind of crazy, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, the Cosmic Dreamer and I are just talking here between breaks. And he's having a hard time believing it, but think about it. If we moved to a different dimension, are we even going to know it? Are we going to know the difference? Because, and again, the Mandela effect is a huge, huge catalyst in this. There are more and more things coming out about the Mandela effect every day. Things that everybody, some of these people really remember, no, that's how it happened. And other people are like, no, this is how it happened. Everybody has different memories. And it's not just spelling things. It's Jiffy? I can't remember if it's Jif or Jiffy peanut butter. I remember that when I was growing up. Never existed. Shazam, never existed. Just, those are just two examples. So, we shifted to another dimension because our other, you know, the people at CERN destroyed our current consciousness. Then we have people who remember things a certain way. And other people that remember it a different way. And if you look at it, it's the older people that remember it one way and the younger generation that like, no, I don't remember it that way. And I'm not saying 2012 is the end point, but things are definitely different. Things are changing. Things are out of control. If it's not our planet going crazy, places are having earthquakes that never had earthquakes before. Tsunamis, volcanoes, earthquakes, eruptions, weird weather patterns. Siberia just hit 100 degrees. I mean, that's not normal. Are we living in a different universe? And I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just we got to get used to this, and our planet has to adapt to living in this different universe because things are different here. It'll calm down. I don't like this universe we're living in due to the fact that it's absolutely crazy, and the world is insane right now. But it's really a weird concept that makes a ton of sense. What I need you to do is contact me and let me know what you think. Are things different since 2012 for you? What has changed? Because I guarantee you things have changed, good or bad, from 2012. And I understand that as life goes, that's 8 years. A lot of things change in 8 years, but I'm talking weird things. Like me. My liver was dying. My liver's fine now. My wife was healthy. She's not now. Those are two big changes. What happened in this universe that wasn't happening in the next universe? Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. I hope you enjoyed this show because this was one of the best, most fun shows I've done in a while, because this is a subject I just heard about recently and I just dug myself into it. And the more I dug myself into it, the more I believe that there's a very good possibility. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Thank you for listening to this week's show. I truly appreciate you listening. Share it. Tell everybody you know about the show. We are growing. You know, the COVID pandemic has slowed everybody's podcast because people aren't driving to work. It's slowly starting to come back up, but we're still every week gaining new listeners, and I can't do it without you. Share the show, talk about the show, support the show any way you can. I truly appreciate it. I will be back next week. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. We'll talk to you next week.